chapter 3, please. 2 Peter chapter 3. Thank you, Mrs. Debelak. Ms. Debelak, excuse me. Mrs. See, I never call her that, but it's not appropriate to call her Sparky when students are present. It was a good day, however Pastor Kwok ever was introduced to that young lady. I don't know if there's anything she can't do. Is there, Tim? She seems to be multiply gifted. I'm thinking she'll take over the pulpit any time. 2 Peter 3, we're going to look at two verses, chapter 3, verse 17, and chapter 3, verse 18. Let us all stand, please. I'm going to do something this morning that I almost never do. I'm going to not preach, as Pastor Willoquette said, expositorily. I'm going to do the exact opposite this morning. I'm actually going to take an idea from, I think it's from the Scripture. I think it's actually all of the Scripture. And I'm going to apply the idea to many different areas of life. If you're in this church any length of time, you already know how I preach. I preach through books. I'm preaching through Mark. But this morning, I'm not going to do that. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, or because you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. The same word is found in verse 16 where it says unlearned and unstable. That word means to be stable. It means to be steadfast. It means to be solid. So Peter concludes his epistle by warning us. He says, I preached all of this material. I've given you all of this material, all of these different issues, situations, and you need to know, please look at me, you need to know ahead of time, lest you self-destruct. And then he concludes with a great exhortation, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. We're going to use verse 18 not as a springboard, but as a place to root ourselves, and we're going to talk about growth in grace this morning. I am very happy you're here, because this is one thing I know. If you're human, and in most cases I'm convinced of that, Frenchie, you need what we're going to talk about. Here's the sermon, the title, and the theme, growth in all or no growth at all. Only two options. So if you're struggling with your children, your marriage, your finances, whatever the issue is, here's the concept. You either grow in all or not at all. That's the sermon this morning. Our Father, I ask that you would help me as I try to expound from this text and actually many texts, and help all of us understand how all things interrelate and how the most important thing is not where we're growing, but that we're actually growing. Lord, this has been on my heart this whole week. I did everything I could not to preach this. I feel like I need to. And I would ask that you would help me this morning to convey this simple idea, life-changing idea, and show it throughout Scripture and throughout our life. May you use it to transform your people. For those that have been on the sideline of life their whole life, if they're truly a believer, I think it's time to start growing in all. Help us now, I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I don't think I signed up for this particular class. I certainly didn't like this particular class. And to return the favor, the teacher didn't like me. The year was, and Stacy, I am very much dating myself. I'm not going to say how old you are, but I'm going to be 10 years older than you shortly, which means I'm going to be 58. And Scott told me that, very kindly, by the way, that, you know, Stacy's going to be 48 and great. And then he said, he said something, but it didn't apply to her. For my case, it's going to be 58 and way too late. I'm good with that. So I'm saying this, 1972 or 1973, I'm in high school. Either my sophomore or my junior year, I take a class. I don't think I signed up for the class. They stuck me in the class for whatever reason. I didn't like the class, and the teacher didn't like me. Back in those days, in the little rural community I came from, we had one high school in the whole county. It was actually a big high school, because in Calhoun County, Greene County, Magoopin County, I know you know where all those are, the high schools were tiny. Some of the high schools were no bigger than Lake County Baptist High School for one whole county. Ours was a pretty big high school. But I wouldn't say that our little high school was what you would call cutting edge. It was pretty rural and backwoods kind of a high school. And in the 1970s, there were certain classes and certain courses of study that were cut out for men, males, and certain classes and courses of study, this is unthinkable today, that were cut out for women. Meaning they didn't like the men in a woman's course of study, and they didn't like the women in a man's course of study. It was just the way it was in 1972, where I'm from. Well, I found myself, for whatever reason, in a class along with one other male. Every other person was a girl, and it was in a girl's course of study. Now, the woman teacher didn't particularly like guys, and she didn't like guys taking the class, and she said it the first day. She says, "You guys are here, you have to be here, but I don't want you here." Great. Not because she was a defender of the status quo, by the way, ladies. She didn't like males in the class because she did not think males could do a good job in this class. This was in the dark ages when not only that certain things were for men and women couldn't do it, but certain things for women and men couldn't do it. And I was in one of those classes that I wasn't supposed to be in that men couldn't do. You say, what was the class? Well, here it is. Typing. Now, this is so far in the dark ages. I still remember the first day of class, we had a manual typewriter. Some of you probably have never even seen one unless you saw it in a movie from like 1800s. And we had to learn to type on a manual typewriter. I only had it for one semester. The first two-thirds or three-quarters of the semester, you learned to put your... you had to set up properly. Did I say that properly, Jenny? Sit up or set up? Whichever it is, that's what I did. You had to sit up properly. You had to hold your hands at a certain angle. Guys aren't good at that. You had to have the right fingerings. So all you did for like the first semester is learn the fingerings and putting your fingers in the right place for the numbers and everything to type. Now, she tested us at the end of 3/4 of the way in before we went to the electric. Now, the next semester was all electric. I didn't say computers. I said electric typewriters. So the last 2 weeks of that class, if you were fast enough, by the way, I want to tell you ahead of time, I got 2 C's in high school. This was one of them. Not because I wasn't good at typing. I was a male in a woman's course of study. And men can't type. I tell you this whole story not to be funny. The one class out of two that I got a C in, that the teacher hated me the whole semester because I wasn't supposed to be in there, I became a pretty proficient typer. I could type 40 to 50 words a minute on the clankers. I could type 60 words a minute on the electric my first semester. She still gave me a C. You say, "Pastor, why are you telling me this?" The best class I ever took in high school, I've used it almost every single day after I got out of high school, was typing. I went into laboratory medicine, and we had these things called computers, typing. I'm a pastor now. My notes, guess who types them? Have you ever seen most people my age type? Excuse me, you got to get the glasses first. Me, guess what I do? I type because I learned to type. I use it at home. I use it here. I use it in the laboratory. I can use it any place I am. I know how to type. By the way, I said something. You grow in all or not at all. We'll come back to the typing. Look at verse 18, if you would, with me, please. Verse 18 is a great text. I could expound just on these two verses, but because of what I'm trying to accomplish from the rest of the Bible, I'm just going to hit the highlights of these two verses. Obviously, verse 18 is a wonderful verse. It's an encouraging verse, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. When the Bible commands you to grow in grace, that means you can grow. You can change. Things don't have to stay where they used to be. By the grace of God, because you're a child of God, you can actually grow. And you can grow in grace, and you can grow in knowledge. I mean, these are beautiful concepts. So we are to grow. We can grow. It is a command to grow in the grace of God, to grow in the knowledge of God in His Word, to grow in a way. Look what it says in verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You not only grow in grace, you grow in knowledge, you grow in your relationship with the living Christ. He becomes more and more the center of your life. But verse 17 tells you to grow lest you become unstable. You become one of those people who self-destructs. You become one of those people who you fall apart and you move away and fall away from your steadfastness, your stability. He tells us to grow because we know beforehand the dangers. You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before. So we grow in these ways. Ultimately, verse 18, to Him be glory both now and forever. We grow so as to glorify our Lord and Savior. Now, everyone look at me. Now we come to the application of this text, the whole sermon. You come to me, and you're having difficulties with this. Anybody in this room? You come to me, and you're having difficulties with this. You come to me, and you're having difficulties with your children. You come to me, and you're having difficulties in any area of life. Here is the pastor's dilemma. As a young man, I read these verses. I tried to apply the Bible, and I have seen growth in my own life. I've seen growth in some people, unbelievable growth, and some people, no growth also. But I've seen people grow. But what is the process of growth? I couldn't figure out from the Bible for years, decades. I would get a book. And by the way, you can buy them online. You can buy them at Christian booksellers, Discipleship 101. And you go through the book, and the object of the book is once you go through the 10 lessons, but once you go through the book, you realize, I haven't grown. Something's missing. I take a book, you know, I take this discipleship course, but something's lacking. And then you start thinking, there is nothing in the Bible. Please look at me. There are no courses in the Bible called Marriage 101. Why not? There are no courses in the Bible, I know some of you have read them, on how to handle your finances. Whether it be Dave Ramsey or the guy that died a decade ago that told you how to run your finances, here's the problem. None of that's in the Bible in the way those books portray it. Did you realize there's no books in the Bible that say child rearing 101 and 102 and 103? There's no books in the Bible called Relationships 101, 102, 103. Actually, I saw a book online. I was giving Mrs. Vasilovich a hard time this week about it. I got a catalog of Christian books, and there's now a book, I think, written by Rick Warren called The Daniel Plan of How to Lose Weight. I didn't know Daniel talked about losing weight, but I guess he does. We create stuff. My friend, are you ready? Here's the whole sermon. I want you to picture in your mind, I was going to have it on the back, my fault it didn't happen. I want you to picture something. You're going to have to use your mind. Here is you. Every command in the Bible deals with you, Scripture, and God. So look at me. Here's where we live. You live in a circle. Here's your circle. It's you, it's the Lord. If you're a saved person, the Lord and His Word. That's your circle. The Bible commands you to grow, but it doesn't give you instructions on how to rear your children in book 101, 102, 103, 104, or anything of that nature. It just tells you to grow in grace and in the knowledge. Why? Because here is you and the Lord in a relationship with His Word, and out from you, like spokes, are your various relationships. Listen, you have one relationship if you're married with your spouse. A circle. Here's you and God. You spoke out to that circle, your spouse. You have another circle, your children. You have another circle, your broader relationships, meaning mom and dad, cousins, friends, all of these broader family and relationships. So you have marriage, children, broader relationships, work. Are y'all with me? You have any idea what I'm talking about yet? The Bible tells you to grow, but it doesn't give you books on these various relationships. Marriage, child rearing, broader families, work. You have a relationship at church, and you have a relationship with unsaved people. If you can picture yourself in the center, there are six of these relationships. There is a relationship, and it doesn't make a difference which direction. There's a relationship with the world. There's a relationship with work. There's a relationship with church. There's a relationship you have here with your children, or I think I said your broader relationships, your marriage, and your children. Now, here is the sermon. When the Bible tells me to grow in grace. Look at me, friend. When the Bible tells me to grow in grace, it doesn't give me information of growing in grace in one area. It gives me information that grow in grace here. And if I grow in grace here, I grow in grace there. And if I grow in grace here, I grow in grace there. And if I grow in grace here, I grow in grace there. And if I grow in grace here, I grow in grace here. Look at me. When I learned to type, nobody told me I couldn't type at church. When I learned to type, nobody told me that I couldn't type at home. And everything we learn when we grow in grace and in the knowledge applies to all of these relationships. So, growth in all are not growth at all. I've been here 19 years, Pastor Willequette, and I've seen some people not grow at all, and they stay exactly the same place. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to look through the Bible, and I'm going to show you how this simple concept will change everything about you. Ephesians chapter 4, would you look there? The beautiful thing about Scripture is the moment I grow in one area, I grow in every area. Just like when I learned to type, I could type for the laboratory work. I could type for pastoring. I could type things at home, personal letters. You can start. So when I grow in this area, I grow in every area. Oh, wait a minute. And when I don't grow in this area, I don't grow in any area. So you say, Pastor, this morning I have a problem with my marriage. Please look at me. No, you don't. You have a problem with growth. And if you learn to grow, guess what you will find? Your marriage will be taken care of because you will learn biblical truth. Ephesians 4, 31. Look with me, please. This is just application this morning. It's an exhortation. That's all I'm doing. Ephesians 4 and verse 31. Let all, what's the word? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. That's the kind of people that are always yelling and screaming and becoming, you know, belligerent. And evil speaking, let it be put away from you with all malice, ill intent. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Friend, here's you. Look up here. Here's you, not someone else. You don't have a problem with bitterness with your job or your work. You have a problem with bitterness. So sooner or later, you'll either come to grips with, I'm going to be a bitter person, or I'm going to be a person who learns to forgive, who learns to, as God has forgiven me, forgive others. And here's, oh, bitter people are bitter every place. And forgiving people are forgiving every place. Grow in all or not grow at all. So you meet a person, they say they're a Christian, and every time you talk to them, bitterness comes out of their mouth. And you think, oh, by the way, you talk to them because your relationship is about their go over here on this side. They hate their parents. So, you know, you join in because you hate your parents too, and you're bitter and you spew junk about mom and dad. They were the worst parents. They weren't good to you. And you think this person has a problem with their parents. No, they don't. This person has a problem with bitterness. This person has never learned to forgive. Therefore, you will find if you listen, they have a problem with bitterness with their parents, but they also have a problem with bitterness with their spouse, and they also have a problem with bitterness when their children don't do exactly what they want to do, and they also have problems with bitterness with church, and they also have problems with bitterness at work, and because they are a bit, look at me. You're looking for solutions in your marriage is not significant. There's only one relationship that's significant in your life, your relationship with God in His Word. You come to God, you get to the place where you have worked through the bitterness, and you have learned to forgive. Oh, guess what happens? I can forgive my parents. I can forgive my spouse for not being perfect. How many of you are perfect? Raise your hand. I can forgive my children. In my case, my children are perfect. Son-in-law is a little sketchy. I can forgive my children for not being perfect. I can forgive my church for not being perfect. I can forgive my job for not... You see, it all fits together. Grow in all or don't grow at all. And guess what I've seen? Most people don't grow at all. They carry their junk with them wherever they go. Now, for the men in this room, turn your Bibles, men, to Colossians chapter 3. Ladies, you don't need to turn there. And I'm serious. Men, you see, friend, the problem you have is not your marriage. The problem you have is not rearing children. The problem you have is growing in grace and in the knowledge. And if you grow wherever you grow, you're going to find that when you grow in your relationship with God and you come to grips with forgiveness as opposed to the bitterness and the bile, what you start to see is when I grow in one, I grow in all. I either grow in all or I don't grow at all. Colossians, men only. Colossians 3 in verse 19. Husbands. What's the command? Husbands? That's not the whole command. What else does it say? That's interesting, isn't it? See, you thought I need to read that book on marriage. You know, I read the magic book on marriage and I got my problem solved. If you're a bitter person, you're going to become bitter against your spouse. And sooner or later, males, look up here. I should say some men, some males, I'm not sure. If you're a Christian man, you're going to find out your wife is imperfect. By the way, she never knew that you were imperfect. And if you're a person that hasn't grown and learned to forgive and learned to adjust and learned to adapt, you're going to become bitter against your wife. But you don't have a marital problem, you have a bitterness problem. And if you learn to forgive and deal with this, guess what? I cannot be bitter. I won't be bitter against my spouse. Hold it. I won't be bitter against my parents, my children, my church, my work, my, you know, whatever the relationship is, I'm no longer bitter. You either grow in all or not at all. And many people in this room choose the not at all, which Pastor Will Aquette and I are pretty much on page with this. If you never grow, you are not saved. There aren't two kinds of Christians. Let's look at another text, Proverbs 25. Would you look there, please? Proverbs 25. Many years ago, oh my goodness, 1982 or 3, I had a class. I don't even know what the class was in Bible college. It was one of the worst classes I ever had. But in the class, one of the requirements is you had to memorize a chapter of Proverbs. Well, most people memorized chapter 9. Anybody know why chapter 9? Shortest chapter. Well, I had been fascinated by Proverbs 25, so I just decided I'd memorize Proverbs 25. We'll reference this again later. Best thing that ever happened to me. I just memorized the chapter for the class. I got an A. It was a dumb class. But in the process, I learned something. Please look up here now. You either grow in all or you don't grow at all. In a 10-year period of time, everybody knows, including you, whether you're growing or you're not. Because, folks, the problem is not, it's not work, it's not church, it's not the unsaved, it's not your children, it's not your parents, it's not your spouse, the problem is you. Oh, wait a minute, the good news is the solution is you. And the solution is just to grow. So Pastor Warren is going to, in 3 minutes, share this with you. Proverbs 25, verse 8. This is one of the passages I had to memorize. Well, I had to memorize the whole chapter. The text says, go not forth what? Now, this passage deals in general, we'll just speak in general, with solving problems. And it gives you, in this short text, five different concepts of how to deal with problems. So it says, go not forth hastily to strive. So everyone look up here. When you approach problems, you always approach problems slowly. Whatever the problem is, you don't explode, you don't tear things up, you don't throw things, you do this. You take a deep breath and you slow down. Look up here. You either grow in all or you don't grow at all. When you learn to approach problems slowly, you approach problems slowly with your spouse. You approach problems slowly with your children. You approach problems slowly in your family. You approach problems slowly at work. You approach problems slowly at your church. Because you either grow in all or don't grow at all. Continue reading. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. I call that when you approach problems thoughtfully. You slow down. Hey, look at me, friend. No matter what your situation is, you slow down, you take a breath, and you think. Now, let's just pretend. Now, this never happens in this church, that a wife and a husband get in an argument. By the way, I know you do. Most of those arguments happen on Sunday morning. I don't know why. When I got up this morning, my wife, when I got up and I was getting ready for church, I looked out the window and I thought, it snowed on Sunday. That means 10 to 25% of people will not be here because it snowed. Why can't it snow on Monday? I don't care if you go to work, except if you're a teacher here. I don't care about that. By the way, folks, you and your wife are having a spat, or your husband. Now, I know that doesn't happen in this church. What's the best thing, men? I'm going to speak to the men. What's the most important thing you can do? You slow yourself down, and you think before you open that mouth. Women actually get hurt by your dumb conversation. And when you call your wife bad names, I don't know why, they tend to remember them. Now, 30 seconds later, you're wondering what's for lunch, and she's thinking, I'm going to give you a baseball bat for lunch. Why? The text, by the way, folks, look at me. The text, go not forth hastily to strive. Slow down. Lest thou know not know what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbors put thee to shame. Think about what you're going to do and say. Hello? Look at verse 9, would you please? Debate thy cause with whom? Now, you're going to read some pious theologian that's going to tell you, this is talking about justice. Get a life. This is talking about life. So this means, here's three principles, the only three I'm going to talk about right now. If I'm dealing with my spouse, my children, my family, broader relationships and friendships, my work, my church, look at me. I either grow in all of those or I don't grow at all. So I either learn to slow down, think, and always address problems privately. The moment, ladies, now it's your turn. The moment you decide to discuss your husband with your mother, you have broken a sacred trust that will never be fixed. You did it because you decided to disobey the Bible. But some of you are thinking, well, this doesn't have anything to do with marriage. It has everything to do with your life. Because here you are. It's you, it's God, it's His Word. And when I grow in one, I grow in all. And I either grow in all or I don't grow at all. It's very interesting to me to see people with anger problems. Or I got a problem at work and I talk to everybody except the one person that needs to talk to. It's called gossip, but we don't care. And we're thinking, I got a work problem. You don't have a work problem. That problem shows up every place. You're going to find people that discuss their spouse with someone else. Guess what they do? They also discuss their boss with someone else. And it just goes on and on. You either grow in all or you don't grow at all. But here's the good news. All you got to do is grow. The moment you start learning these principles to slow down, to think, to deal with it privately, guess what happens? You do that every place you are. Look at me. Folks, I learned this when I was in Bible college. I memorized this and started thinking. And I started realizing at work I was part of the problem because I never went to the people individually. And by the time that person heard what I had said to 15 different people, that person was angry. Do I have a work problem? No. I got a problem. When I grow in grace and knowledge, it helps every place I go. Of course. Of course. That's the way life works. Look at Acts chapter 21, would you please? Acts chapter 21. I'm not preaching on these folks, I'm just giving you examples. I think some of you want a book. Pastor Willoquet, I know you have had to deal with this, and there are books that help you in some ways. I'll tell you what books help you with, Pastor Willoquet, you know this. You can get a book or a course that teaches doctrine. The problem is the Christian life is doctrine applied. And that starts right here. Look at me, friend. It starts with your Bible study tomorrow, you coming across the passage, and you realizing this is what God wants me to know and to apply. And the moment you start making that your own, guess what? You grow every place because that truth goes every place. And if you don't grow, you don't grow at all. You stay right where you're at. So I'll see you 10 years from now and wonder, why hadn't that person ever witnessed anybody? Same reason that person doesn't talk to their children. Same reason that person doesn't communicate with their spouse. Same reason that person has no relationships. It's not a marital problem or a child-rearing problem. It's a Christian problem. You either grow in all or not at all. That's the only kind there are. And that's the reason when you've seen a Sam Labasi, or you see a Rick Lavalette, and you wonder, what's about that guy? And I'll mention another name, Tim Durham, in this room. And you see a guy, and they're not perfect, but they're just like on fire. And I see other people putting me to sleep. For sure, because they're never going anyplace. Well, let's look at Acts chapter 21. You think this might be an important concept, friend? I can't give you the background. The background is the problem with Paul. But in verse 14... it says, and when Paul would not be persuaded, Luke says, we stopped talking. And we said, what? What? Will the Lord be done? Friend, please look at me. This is a concept that you got to get to. We can call it many things. Closure, resolution. You know, once you learn, everybody in this room has been disappointed. Excuse me. Everybody of age. Louisa, we mentioned this morning, and I love you, young lady, and your sister, and your mother, and I tolerate your dad. Right now, you haven't had this, but sooner or later, someone's going to hurt you in one way or another. but even in other ways. Everybody has to resolve certain issues. There has to come a place when I always wanted this, and I can't have that, and I come to closure or resolution, look at me, where I can say, the will of the Lord be done. Where I can say, I got to stop talking and thinking about that. I'll just turn that over to God. The will of the Lord be done. This is what's interesting. Once I learn that and grow, I grow in every place. Because then, when you're married to somebody, unless you're married in a fairy tale, that person has imperfections. And you're going to have to come to the place where you can have closure and say, this is the person God's given me. Is that easy? Folks, I am a hard-charging AAA personality. I don't like to be told no about anything. By the way, I'm speaking for my wife, but saying it generically. Neither does she. When she got married, she thought I was tall, light, handsome, thin. She found out I'm old, bald-headed. It echoes. It's like you wake up one day, it's like, who did I marry? Do you realize how many people in churches now are on the internet looking for someone else? Oh, by the way, and when you got that someone else, you know what you're going to find? That someone else ain't any different than this one. Oh, you say, I'm looking for spiritual advice on, you got to be kidding me. My friend, closure is just coming to the place where you can say, Lord, I'm going to do everything I can to accomplish X, Y, and Z. And then there comes a place where I say, Lord, as I would hand him the book. And by the way, you might not have to do this once. You might have to do this many times. The will of the Lord be done. You know what's nice? You can do that here. You can do that with your children. I love my children. They have done almost everything I have ever desired of them. Almost. Amy knows there's one big thing I want from her. Thank you. John knows the same. Will they accomplish that? If they don't, I still love my kids. Are they perfect? Thank you, Sharon. Amen. But listen to me, friend. Some of you are laughing, but you're not getting the point. I want to ask you a question. Why do I see people that never grow? You're no better at communicating than you were 19 years ago when I came here. Because you're looking for magic. You're looking for a magic pill. You're looking for, woo! This is what you need. It's you. It's God and His Word. Grab a hold of truth. When you grab a hold of that truth, all of a sudden you realize, it helps me in every area. But if I fail to grab a hold of that truth, every area remains the same. Because you either grow in all or you don't grow at all. It's really that simple. And it becomes obvious over time. Closure. Oh, by the way, you meet a person that doesn't have closure with their spouse. Usually they're divorced. I'm being very specific. Usually they're divorced. Of course they are. What you find is the person that doesn't have closure here, they probably didn't have closure from their family. And the same one that doesn't have closure with their family has problems with their children. Guess what? When you listen to them, they have problems at work. They have problems at church because they're a person. They just have gaping holes. They can't come to the place where I can say, the will of the Lord be done. God has brought me to here. It's not all perfect every place, but here's where God's brought me. The will of the Lord be done. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to revel in it. I'm going to use it. I'm going to do everything I can to the glory of God. Listen. When my son was born, I had high goals for him. I didn't know what I wanted him to become. I think it was somewhat of a combination of Einstein, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and Isaac Watts. That's pretty high hopes. To be honest with you, John has excelled in areas I could never have dreamed of. He likes administration in the college he teaches at. I'm like, John, were you adopted? He likes all of that busy stuff, all that paperwork junk that I like to shuffle to Pastor Kowak's direction. John likes working with his hands. It's like, who are you? He sends me pictures, not of the books he's reading, though he does read. He sends me pictures of what he's repairing around his house. I'm like, Did we like get the wrong boy at birth? You for Christmas he wanted a saw. What was that thing? A super sawzall. What a recipro what? Who is this guy? Friends, look at me. Every area of life. Turn to another passage. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Are you all catching on to this? Oh, by the way, you're saying I need to get a new book so I can learn how to grow. No, you don't. You have a Bible. All you need to do is grab a hold of whatever you have read and grabbed a hold of you, and you need to run with it until it becomes yours. And then guess what? Everybody will start saying, oh my goodness, that guy that used to be bitter is now forgiving. He enjoys life. He enjoys what he's doing. And he enjoys his spouse. He enjoys his children. He enjoys his parents. He enjoys everything. Philippians chapter 3, you know the passage, but it's no need to read it again because we're going to go back to what we were doing, those that aren't growing. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Not in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4:25. Years ago, I read a book somewhere in 1970s, late 70s. I've heard all kinds of fundamentalists hate the book, and that's fine. They can hate whatever they want, and the proof of the pudding is always in the pudding. It's not in the theory. I read a book by James Dobson called Dare to Discipline. I like the new Dare to Discipline because it has all the stories, the details, and it's so entertaining. Folks, I was reading a book on child rearing. Some of you think a book on child rearing is child rearing. Steve Tupper, did I have you read that book when you all got married? Let's see, every marriage that has in this, that I marry anybody, guess what they have to read? The new Dare to Discipline. And I tell them all the same thing. This has nothing to do with marriage. Look at me. Excuse me, it has everything to do with marriage. The best thing I ever read was a Dare to Discipline because it helped me before I got married. I'm not even sure Jenny and I were dating yet. Before I got married, I started thinking about children. And before I got married, listen to me, I started finding closure with my father's anger problem. Look at me. And when I could bring closure to my father's anger problem, listen, I could bring closure to any place I am because I learned to type. You're looking for a magic book. Well, there is a magic book, and it's not magic. It's the Word of God. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. My friend, I'll recommend books to you. I'll recommend anything to you. But when the smoke clears, here's where the action is. You either grow or you don't. You either grow in all or not at all. And I see a lot of not at all. Ephesians chapter 4. Let me just ask you if you think this might help you in your job. Wherefore, putting away what? Now, my friend, please look at me. We're not going to read the rest of the verse. Think about this. There comes a time when you either become a truth teller or you're a liar. Here's your problem. If you're a liar, you don't just lie with your spouse. You lie with your children, you lie with your family, you lie on your job, you lie at your church, and you lie with other people. If you become a truth teller, you either grow in all or not at all. The moment you start becoming a truth teller, guess what? You're truth telling here, truth telling with your family, truth telling on your job, truth telling at the church, and it becomes obvious. My friend, this is not magic. This is not a secret. Our lives are a web of relationships. And the moment you understand, I don't need to get a book that goes step one, step two, step three, step four. What I need to do is get in God's Word, and as Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. And the moment I start working through whatever it is, it starts helping every place. You start seeing it every place. Or Decades later, nothing has changed, which means I don't care how religious you are, how many prayers you have prayed, there's no life there, friend. Because you either grow in all or not at all. And if you don't grow at all, let's look at a couple more passages and we'll be done. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. This is going to be sensitive, and I'm going to do it on purpose for every man in this room and for the males also. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually. By the way, this is you, God, in his word. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Everyone look at me. As a young man, I read a book on meditation that had one line that has forever changed my life. Look up here, gentlemen. We've had Jim Duncan 3 times, 4 times, 5 times in my 19 years. He's one of the main guys that has dealt with the problem of lust. Here's the problem. I read the same books he read. They're all helpful, but the problem of lust, I never conquered it through reading any of those books. I conquered it obeying the scripture. You say, how did you do that? I started memorizing and meditating on the scripture. I memorized the first time the book of Philippians, the hardest thing I've ever done. It was like climbing, you know those two idiots that climb that peak out there? It was like doing that. You know those guys by their hands? I don't know who would do that, and they slept on the side in these little creepy, I don't think I could ever sleep. But it was like climbing that mountain. I memorized Philippians. Oh, look at me. All of a sudden, I realized when I memorized Philippians, I could control my mind. And if I could choose what I think about, that means I could choose not to think wrong thoughts. Oh, do you think that helped me in school? When I got my first master's and second, do you think it helped me? Of course, because once you learn to control your thinking, guess what else happens? I can control my thinking around women that I shouldn't be thinking bad about. I can control my thinking when I'm working. I can control my thinking when I'm going to school. My friend, I don't want to bore you. I'm only going to do one more. You either grow in all or you don't grow at all, and it's going to be very obvious after this sermon who you are. This is not magic. You grab an idea and it just immediately applies to every area of your life, and all of a sudden everybody sees your Christianity means something, or you're one of those people that you've been hanging around and nobody knows what you are. They don't ever see any change, growth, nothing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Two passages and we're done. And I know this is a long sermon. That's okay. At least when you get done, you will have heard something. About a month ago, I preached on this text on growth. I didn't. Now, this is sad. It's a terrible thing to say. I didn't expect much because I expect people to continue doing what they're doing. After this morning, you're going to expect something. As I was preparing for the message, I do what I do when I read the New Testament or Old Testament. I read it in the original languages, Greek in this case. I was reading 1 Peter 2. Now, I was preaching mainly on verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But in verse 1 it says, wherefore laying aside all, what's that word? You know what malice is? Ill will. Here's my problem. I would have you call Dr. Moritz, but you may not, and he would not tell you anyhow. I spent an hour on the phone with him in the last week because I realized I have some serious ill will towards one individual. No, it's none of you. And it's not even anybody. Most of you would not know the person if I said their name. 3 or 4 of you would know the name. I have serious ill will. Now, see, for some of you, you think, well, that's no big deal. Who cares about that? Now, here's the thing, folks. I learned how to type in high school. Look at me. I don't have to get a book on malice to learn how to get over malice. I already know how to forgive, don't I? I asked you a question, don't I? So guess what I have to do? I have to go back to the same fountain and realize God has forgiven me. I have to go back to Father, forgive them, for they realize, as the psalmist says, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. I have to go back to the same fountain in the way that God has forgiven me, and I have to apply those truths to that individual. And Ralph Warren, look at me, because once you learn to forgive, you can do it any place, and I just need to apply those truths to that guy of which I have been working at. We close with one last passage, Proverbs 25:28. Everybody find it. Everyone look up here, please. This morning's message is on growth and grace. Please look at me. You grow in one. Whatever your issue is this morning, you're saying, I'm having problems with bitterness towards my wife. Ladies, you're going to have a problem towards bitterness towards your husband. That's the nature of males. But I'm serious. You're having difficulties. All you have to do is this. You have to come to grips with forgiveness and those types of concepts. This is what's weird. The moment you can start forgiving him, or closure, realizing that you'll never meet a man that walks on water, there's only been one. And the moment you reconcile that, then you can have closure and forgiveness. But here's the beautiful thing. You learn to type now. Now you can apply this with children, parents, grandparents, relatives, friends, work, church. And all of a sudden, every place you go, you can type. Or you can't. You either learn it or you don't. Look at me in the eyes. You cannot type at home and come to work and not be able to type. You grow in all or not at all. Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. I was in the Navy. My buddy Leo is going to the Navy. That's good. That just makes me very safe. Makes me feel safe that Leo's going to be in the Navy and Louisa's going to be his boss. But you hear me, friend. When I was in the United States Navy, I had to come to grips with the issue of, are you ready? The alarm clock. Some dummy, somebody that should be beat within an inch of their life, invented this little button on top of your alarm clock. In my first few weeks out of boot camp, I love that thing. After a while, you hit it so many times, it's clean across the room. You're still slapping it. And one day I realized, quit using the stupid snooze. And the alarm clock gets up, goes off, get up! Listen, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that, this is the ancient world, broken down and without walls. It's defenseless and it's a useless city. In the United States Navy, I got control of my emotions and my spirit, and I stopped using the snooze. When the alarm goes off, I get up. Actually, my wife knows this, I don't use an alarm. This morning, I was supposed to get up at 5:15, I get up at about 4:20. I'm not really much of an alarm. You say why? Because when it's time to get up, get up! What I realized later, are you listening to me? It isn't about the snooze button. It isn't about the alarm clock. I had to stop whining to myself. I don't want to get up. Oh, shut up. Or let me use biblical speak. There's a lion in the sweet streets. Or let me use your conversation. It's snowing. Yes, and this is the first time it has ever snowed in Waukegan. A quarter of an inch. Here's the bottom line. I learned it from D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He would say you need to take yourself in hand, quit listening to yourself, start preaching to yourself. The moment I learned that concept, guess what? In every relationship, I'm done. If you grow in one, you grow in all. You either grow in all or you don't grow. What's it going to be? Am I going to see lives in this room transformed in communication? Or are you going to continue not being able to communicate? Forgiveness, bitterness, gaping wounds, closure. It all comes down to, listen, but grow in grace. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. It's you, it's God, it's a book. Grow in all or don't grow at all. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Seal it to our hearts.